Okay. So first, just a few words about myself. I was learning in Kollel, and I sort of tripped and fell into the world of kashrus. I actually thought I was going to go into chinuch, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a great sense of humor, and I ended up where I am today. I was actually not interested in kashrus. I was interested in the very technical side of food production. For example, when you open a can, you put the opener in, and you hear the psst sound. There's a vacuum, and I'm wondering, how did they get the vacuum into that? How did they do the vacuum? Do they have a special syringe where they suck out the air and then make... Anyway, so I went with a friend of mine who was visiting factories for then Chief Rabbi Shapiro, Avraham Shapiro, Zichron Levracha. So I went to a few factories with him just to learn technical stuff, not interested. And then one day, Rav Shapiro called me, and he asked me if I would join him in the Rabbanut HaRashit. They wanted to open up something called Machleket HaYivu, the kosher import division in the Rabbanut. And like any fool, I said yes. I should have stayed in yeshiva, but I said yes, and the rest is history. It's been 30-something years since then, and I've been doing kashrus since then. What I'd like to do tonight, with your permission, is, number one, when Rav Malinsky called me up, I was in Japan last week when we were discussing this. I said, what would you like me to discuss? He says, well, if you can do everything in Bat Kashrus, all of Yoredeya, the two halakim, three halakim, just do it all. The first chalik and a half, do it all in 90 minutes, that will be wonderful. I said, I'm not sure if I can do that, but I will try to cover some ground. What I'd like to do first today is I have a PowerPoint presentation, and since I didn't bring the power pack for my computer, I'd like to do this first. It is basically I'll tell you what. Let's just let the computer do the talking for us. Oh, I guess I should turn off the other side. Okay. And does that work? Caveat emptor. I assume some of us here know. Many people, usually when I go to places, they don't know what it means. Caveat emptor is?
Buyer beware.
Buyer beware, exactly right. And what we're going to do tonight, hopefully if I can get this thing to work. Right. Can I ask you to just rotate the computer? Right, thank you very much. Okay, Kashrus and Issel, a guide for the perplexed. What I want to do is I'm going to take us all, if you don't mind, on a walking tour of the center of Yerushalayim. Because even though many of us don't necessarily go to Yerushalayim, but there are many things that we will find as we go through to learn how to shop properly. Shopping in Israel is very different from shopping, just like kashrus in Israel is radically different from kashrus in the States. I assume most of us are from the States. Anybody not from the States? Where are you from? England? South Africa, okay. So England and South Africa are also very different from the United States, also different from Israel. There you have the London based in, you have the Federation, you have different places in South Africa, which is maybe the only country in the world that still has only one central kashrus authority, which is more or less accepted by everybody because they have a regular section and a mahajan section. But in any event, it's different. So I want us to just going to walk through town now and just to see how a person is supposed to go shopping. So first off, when I go shopping, what it is that I'm looking for? Shopping means a restaurant as well. I'm looking for a hechsher, always a good thing to find. I'm looking for a reliable hechsher. I'm sure that in this crowd, there are many people who have all kinds of hechsherim that they do or don't use. We'll hopefully touch on that as well. I want to find the correct hechsher. We'll see each of these things to see what we're talking about. We'll see it in the show. The name of the store, the restaurant, the address, the Tudah's expiry date. We'll see. Disclaimers or comments. If somebody's making a kashrus claim that does or doesn't have a backing. On the other hand, you have a disclaimer that it's the person who's giving the hechsher says, I'm not covering everything that's being sold here. Or a kashrus claim, somebody says, my product is better than average. And of course, it's always nice to find a mashgiach when you go out to anywhere. Interestingly enough, just as an interesting point, at least in the United States, and I know this to be true in England as well, there is no such thing as a fleishik restaurant that doesn't have a mashgiach tzmidi. There's no such animal. In Israel, you'll be very hard-pressed, at least in the regular Rabbanut, or even some of the Mahajan ones, it'll be very hard-pressed to find a mashgiach there full-time. The reason is because the number of Jews the number of Jews who are eating kosher in New York or in England is relatively small, and you can have enough mashgichim in the different places. However, in Israel, it doesn't work that way. There are a lot of people eating kosher. Every year, Pesach time, they do surveys in Israel, how many people, what percentage of people are eating kosher, how many people are eating chametz on Pesach, how many people are having a seder on Pesach. The numbers always, even those who aren't frum, the numbers are in the high 70s and 80s of people who are having a seder, for example. So let's just see what I just do here. Okay, let's just go ahead. Okay, so I'm not just, sorry, this is not my Bluetooth mouse, so I'm not used to it. Okay, so now we can just start walking through. Come on. Okay, now I get the hang of it. Okay. So now we're going to walk through, we're going to be picking on people, and since many of you are American, some of you grew up, when I grew up, I have a feeling, the 1960s, the 1970s in the States, there was a TV show called Archie Bunker. Very famous guy. He hates everybody equally, and that's the way we're going to do it today. We're going to pick on all kinds of people just because they happen to be the ones who are going to be a good example for us. This is a heksher from Bell's. As you can see here, it's a heksher for a store, Yigal V'Zeev. The address is in Rechav Eitz Chaim, the main road of Machne Yehuda. And they sell fruits and vegetables. Here's the date on the Tudah, Tavshin Ayin, Nisan Tavshin Ayin, Menachem Av Tavshin Ayin. Here's another Tudah from Bell's. Anybody see any issues, any problems, any questions? Let's try this one. Anybody see anything unusual? Kashrus on the bottom. If you take a look here, you see that the kashrus began on Aleph Teves, Tavshin Ayin, whereas it ended on Erev Sukkot, Tavshin Ayin, or to put it in different words, it started in January 26, 2010 and expired on October 2nd, 2009. So I called up the head of Bell's, who at the time was the head of Bell's, a friend of mine, and I said, I'll forget his name. I said, you know, this is really silly. He said, I'm so embarrassed. I said, you should be. They took care of it, but just the fact that you don't necessarily see things that are quite obvious to the eye once you get a bit closer up. Here's another one from Bell's, Pitzuchei Birkat Yitzchak. Okay, this is also Birkat Yitzchak. If you notice, Pitzuchei Birkat Yitzchak. This is a heksher from Beit Yosef. Anybody notice anything interesting in this Tudah? Like this. There's a little box in the corner. Motzarei Munchies. Munchies has a different connotation in Israel than it does in America. So the Munchies, the ful, which is a kind of a bean, the afunad, and the tiras, enam musharim adei badatz. The Beit Yosef does not give a hechsher to these specific products. Why? Very good question. So I got a phone call once. Right, a few days before Shabbos, I got a phone call. We need you to go to India on Tzom Gedalia. We need you to go for 4 days. I said, you guys ever hear of Aseres Yemei Teshuva? He said, we heard of Aseres Yemei Teshuva, but we still need you to go to India. Anyway, so I went to India for 4 days, and on the plane there, on the plane back, the guy who runs Badatz Beit Yosef was on the plane, so we had a shmooze. I said, can you explain this to me? He says, yeah, it's no problem. He says, all of these products require Bishul Yisrael. We require Bishul Yisrael. For Ashkenazim, there's a very big difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim, as I'm sure you guys know by now. Ashkenazim are very mekil. We don't eat kidneys on Pesach. We suffer there. But when it comes to Bishul Yisrael, we get away with a lot. For Ashkenazim, turning on the fire is enough, and then the goy can put the pan, whatever it is, on the fire. For Sephardim, the Jew has to put the pan on the fire as well. He says, these are made. These are cooked. These are considered Bishul Yisrael products. It's made only for Derech Ashkenazi, not for Sephardim. Therefore, we don't give a heksher, and therefore we put the note there that these products are not covered by us. Everything else, yes. These, no. Okay, just to pay attention here. Okay. Okay, this is one of my favorites. Konditoria Filas. So anybody notice we have two Tudot Kashrut here? Right here, on the side. Are you? One is Rabbanit Yerushalayim, Chalavi and Parva, which tells you something you need to be aware of. Secondly, we have another one, a Tudat Heksher. This is a Mahadran Heksher. But does everybody remember where we are at the moment? Machne Yehuda, very good. Thank you. This is Machne Yehuda. And this is a Tudah hanging in a store in Machne Yehuda. Now you see some of these are old, Tafshin Ayin, these are old because this year was a very busy year and our family didn't have a chance to really update it. But notice that the Tuda here is from Matei Binyamin. Matei Binyamin, and it's a Mahajan Heksher, whereas the Rabbanut Yerushalayim one is a regular Heksher. What is Matei Binyamin, number one, doing in this store in Yerushalayim? And secondly, why do they give a Mahajan Heksher if the Rabbanut doesn't give a Mahajan Heksher? It's a very interesting question, because the law, by the way, in Israel, kashrus laws, they don't really exist in any other country except for Israel. There are kashrus laws on the books. The Rabbanut Rashit L'Yisrael is an arm of the government. The Rabbanut Rashit L'Yisrael draws its power to give Heksherim and to deal with Gittin and Kiddushin and everything else by law. It's mandated by the Knesset. And what that means is that just like the Rabbanut decides, because they have the power of the government theoretically behind them, they can do all kinds of things. On the other hand, the Rabbanut is also subject to the same laws in Israel as anybody else is. So therefore, you'll have sometimes court cases where the Rabbanut will decide that we are not going to give a Heksher and the court will overturn them. And it's happened. If we have time, we'll talk about that later. In any event, one of the rules of Kashrus in Israel is that every Rabbanut is allowed to give a Heksher in its own domain. Why are we going backwards instead of forwards? Forwards instead of backwards. Hold on 1 second, please. Right? At the bottom, hold on a second. Thank you. Okay, back up. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Okay, so one of the rules of kashrus in Israel is that every Rabbanut is allowed to give a heksher only in its own area. Rabbanut Yerushalayim may not give in Tel Aviv, Tel Aviv may not give in Yerushalayim. And so therefore the question is, why is this guy Matei Binyamin giving a heksher here in Yerushalayim? I don't know, but the answer became clear a few months later, fast forward 6 months, when it disappeared and all we have now is the Rabbanut one. We have the Rabbanut Tuda, that's all we have left. Except it's interestingly enough that the Matei Binyamin now one was now exchanged for one from Beit Yosef. And then interestingly enough, 9 months later, the Beit Yosef one is gone. But if you notice here, we have the Tuda, the Rabbanut, hanging where it's always been. We now have a new Tuda hanging here, and this is a very important Tuda for us to pay attention to, because this is a lesson that people really need to learn, and I see it over and over again. Every time I do this, people go, what? Okay. So can anyone see the Tuda? Good. That's exactly the way it's presented in the store as well. You can't see what it is. Can anybody see the Tuda now? Chuk Chasam Sofer. The two Chuk Chasam Sofers, one in Petach Tikva, one in Bnei Brak. This is the one from Petach Tikva. Would you please stop doing that? Thank you. Okay. So now, hi guys. Okay. I think we have a problem here. No, this is not. Okay. Back up, please. Thank you. Keep going. Good. Keep going. Back. Keep going. Keep going. There we go. Okay. So now, this is the Tuda hanging in the doorway. This Tuda is given, as you can see, number one. It's given for... What's going on here? Sorry, back up again. I'll have to do something wrong with this. Okay. So now, if we take a look... I'm sorry, the first time this has happened. If you look at the top line, this is Chuk Chasam Sofer. We are... Anam Mashrim Kemine Hakfuim. Okay, Parvan Chalav, by Tasiot Ma'afeh, Rishon Lezion. Aruzim Chatumim, with this Chatemet, are under our Hashkocha and our Mahajim and our Mahajim. Okay, so number one, where are we again? We are in Yerushalayim. We are in Machne Yehuda, in a bakery that is selling all kinds of baked goods. And they have this Tuda hanging in the doorway. So now, notice the wording here. Ishur ze takef ach v'rak motzarim aruzim v'chatumim. This Tuda is only for products which are packaged and have the chasam sofer heksher on it. Okay, and ishur ze hino rak al mutag habayit tasiot ma'afeh. It's only for a very specific brand name. In other words, it's made from a company called Bayit Tasiot. So this Tuda is given to that company for their specific products. When? frozen, when packaged, when having the hechsher on it. Where did we find this Tuda hanging in a store in Machne Yehuda, in the middle of the doorway, behind all the baked goods where you can't really see it? And then the best thing about it is the last line, Asur litlot yishur zeh. This hechsher may not be hung anywhere. Why? Because they did exactly what you're not supposed to do. Okay? I put it up originally, I said, can anybody see what it says? The answer was no. The answer is that the truth is when it's hanging in the doorway, no one could see it as well. But they just saw the Tuda and they said, oh, this store must be under the hashgacha of Chasam Sofer, which it isn't, not even close. And again, this is just a lesson that buyer beware. You go out, you have to read, you have to pay attention to what you see. And that's it's very important to really, this is like when I see people say, what? Thank you very much. Asur litlot yishur zeh. Okay, so now this is again, we're walking out, we're just walking around, enjoying ourselves, we want to get something to eat. I see a Tuda, I have to pay attention. Okay, fast forward 15 months. And the Chasam Sofer is gone, and our Beit Yosef people are back again. Why do we have musical Tudot? Hello. I think that's haunted. Can you, okay, thank you. Can I use you as my point man?
Sure.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I keep going. Okay. Okay, so here we are. So fast forward 15 months. All the Tudot, we've run through the Tudot. We have musical Tudot. One after another, keeps switching. And as far as I know, this is pretty much where they've ended up in the last time. But again, it's a Tuda hanging there. People don't pay attention because they know people aren't going to pay attention. They know people are just going to see a piece of paper and they're going to just buy. Mom, please. Okay, this is a store. Again, I assume none of us would buy in this store. Sorry? Sure.
Would you recommend, like when they have these musical Tudot, does that go for like a reason to not trust people?
I'm always wary when these things change. I'm not going to say that there aren't legitimate reasons for it, but when it happens so often, then it does make me wonder. And that's a place that I would think about it twice or three times before I would go there. I might buy, but I would have to really wonder, really seriously wonder why they keep doing this, why they have musical Tudot. Sometimes legitimate reasons, sometimes it's plain old money reasons, but sometimes they're all conscious reasons. Okay, this is a store, as we can sell here, called Schutim. As we can figure out, they sell fruit juices here. You see the pomegranates, we see the different things there. Here's their Tuda from the Rabbanut in Yerushalayim. Next, please. And here's their Mahadran Tuda. As you see here, Mahadran, big letters, very nice. Can you, one more? Thank you. And this is the Hechsher of Badatz Nahalat Yitzchak. Anybody ever hear of it? Didn't think so. And in case you didn't know it, it's B'Yisodo Shel Zekana Mekubalim Rav Yitzchak Kaduri Zatzal. Except Rav Yitzchak Kaduri doesn't know anything about it. But it is Mahajan. In fact, somebody told me once that that they gave a Hechsher once to chickens, and that was the one place where he actually wondered if the chickens were actually even kosher. The only place in Israel where he actually had this suffix. This friend of mine, I don't know, again, this is just telling you from what he told me. In any event, this is one of the Hechsherim that the Rabbanut Rashid itself put out a notice saying that this is what you call bogus Hechsherim, one of the fake Hechsherim. We'll show you a whole list of them later on. So fast forward 1 year, and he got rid of his Tuda. Now he has a Yerushalayim Mahadran Tuda. And the guy said to me, interestingly enough, he says, after I got rid of the old Tuda and I brought this one in, my business went up 100%. So even the Tzibur understood, even those who wanted kashrus, they saw this private Hechsher, and they just said, this is not for me. I'm not interested. I want at least a Rabbanut, if nothing else. Okay. Is it illegal to do what he did? As long as you have, by law, as long as you have the Rabbanut's Tuda, you're allowed to have another Hechsher as well. If you have a regular Rabbanut and a Mahadran Hechsher from somebody else, the Rabbanut doesn't like that because it makes them look like they're the lowlifes. And sometimes they'll flex their muscles on the issue. But as long as you have a heksher from the Rabbanut, then they, generally speaking, you can have an additional heksher. Does anyone see the heksher here on this place? Also, it's a fruit juice store. Anybody see the heksher? Yeah, up on top. Anybody see it? There it is. Isher Mechiras Chometz. Okay. So again, we're laughing, but you know, if we don't pay attention to details, and you'll see, we'll see as we go on how very normative people, very firm people, you kind of just trip and fall into things. Okay, next one. This is Tari Ubari. Obviously, you know, as you see, Mitzim, Tiviim, you can see on the big sign upstairs. But does anyone notice the sign? Good. Mahadrin. Okay, but does anybody really notice the sign? Ah, Kan mitz hagezer v'hatapuzim mahadrin. Okay, now, first off, it's faded. So as soon as I see this, I said to myself, wait a minute, a little bit of yeshiva stuff here. If the gezer and the tapuzim is mahadrin, vice dice that everything else in the store is not mahadrin. Okay, so number one, who are you to tell me that it is mahadrin, isn't mahadrin? And why would I believe you if you tell me this? So the guy said, he said, I'll show you that my purchase records for the oranges and the grape and the carrots is mahadrin. He takes out his thing. I said, okay, how about everything else you bought? I mean, that doesn't mean you bought only mahadrin. Anyway, so the bottom line is, he says, I don't have a heksher. But he does, because it's he's self-policing. So he says, kan mitz hagezer v'hatapuzim mahadrin. And as it happens, I don't have the picture of the lady here, but there's a very nice firm lady here buying her fruit cocktail from the store. Okay, fast forward a few months, and next thing you know, poof, gone. It wasn't me, I didn't complain, but I would assume somebody mentioned to the Rabbanut that this guy has a sign up, and they made him take it down. And it, by the way, just for our edification, a number of the fruits that we have over here, oranges are less of a problem, but some of the other fruits there are problematic as far as Orla. Forget Trumas and Maestros, that you can take care of yourself. You can't be mafrish Orla. Orla is Orla. It's also eating Orla is like eating Chazer, no less. Eating Orla is like eating Chazer. So, sorry? One in 200, number one. And then you have the question of, you get in all kinds of questions of what's considered the Kavua here, what's considered the Mia Tamotsui. There are all kinds of questions that come up. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, for example, was very machmir. He was very machmir b'chlal in kashrus, but he was machmir on himself especially. And any fruit that was known to have more than 0.5% of that fruit had orla, he wouldn't eat. He wasn't machmir. You know, he didn't say it to everybody, but that's his own personal hanhaga. That anything over 0.5%, which means 1/200, which would be batel, he wouldn't eat it. There's a machlokas, what's considered miyat hamotzi, 3%, 5%, 7%, 16%, 20%. All the numbers go up, and we'll discuss, hopefully we'll have time later on to discuss where these things come from. Okay, next please. Lambrusco. There's an interesting law in Israel. In Israel, the law says that you're allowed to import tray food, and people do, lots of it. But there are two things you're not allowed to import as tray. One of them is meat, and the other thing, so far, until certain people, you know, if they ever win their battle, chas v'shalom, to knock that down, then we'll have a lot of problems with that as well. And the other thing is, you're not allowed to import treif wine unless you mark it as treif. So let's take a look here. We have our Lambrusco wine from wherever it is. So we see here, okay, lo kasher. Okay, very nice. Now, and obviously, it's not nice that the guy's importing treif wine, but at least he's doing what he's got to do. There it is. You know, it's, I wouldn't say Otsiel's Kiddush Levana, but it's big enough that you can see it. Okay, one more. Here's another one, Cristalino. Next, there we go. That's nasty. First off, it doesn't have a heksher on it. That's number one. But a lot of people wouldn't necessarily pay attention to it. They would assume that things are kosher. But here, if you notice, he stuck it in there in the middle of nowhere that most people wouldn't even, in fact, usually had the circle not popped up, it would have taken some time for people to read down until you actually found it. So you see that people are playing games. I remember my uncle Olav Shalom said to me once, he says, I bought some, I don't remember, he bought some some spirits for Pesach, I don't remember what it was, and then he discovered on it, during the middle of Pesach, he discovered it said on it, Kasher Lola Pesach. Now, you can't tell me that was a mistake. I mean, you can, but you can't tell me that was a mistake. Okay. People like drinking vodka and drinking a lot of other things, and people always wonder, do you need a heksher for these things? So it's interesting. Can we go back one slide? So it's Russian diamond, genuine Russian vodka. I'll take their word for it. Okay, let's go ahead. And so it's very nice, precious purity, and lactose. Lactose is known otherwise as milk sugar. Oh, right. So I don't know how many people cook their meat with vodka. I mean, maybe some Russian people do. I don't know. But in any event, you can't assume that everything is just as simple as it is. I'm not going to go into the question of whiskeys and stuff. We'll leave that for the guy who's going to give the shiur on it. But you just have to be aware that something which is so simple and innocuous and innocent ain't. Lactose is there. Okay, beautiful, wonderful cream-filled cookies or something. Okay, go ahead, please. Say kasher chalavi lochle afkat chalav nachri afias Yisrael. So, just you don't have to, if you're going to feel embarrassed to answer the question. But how many people here used to eat Hershey bars? Used to eat Hershey bars. Okay, how many people still eat Hershey bars? I mean, I don't. Okay, so now, so afkat chalav nachri is different than chalav nachri. It's a big machlokis. Both of them are big machloksim. But there's more room for people to play with the idea of powdered milk as opposed to liquid milk. So this guy's telling you that the product he has here has powdered milk in it, and it's afias Yisrael, and it's even lelo chashash chodesh for those who are makbid on that. Usually if you're makbid in chodesh and things, you very often will be makbid on the chalav Yisrael, but not necessarily. For instance, the briskers in America, they'll use powdered milk, but they won't use chodesh. And anyway, so we have this wonderful thing here. It's a filled cookie. Move on, next one, please. And the heksher here is, here we go. Chug hashkachat habadatz chug harambam tzorfat. Okay. Does anyone know who they are? Okay. So that's good. That's Jack. You're cheating. So now the chug harambam in Tzorfat. I had never heard of them. So I called the Rabbanut Rashid, the import division. I said, "What's my Tiva Shabriyazu?" And they said to me that they, as far as I know, this is a company that works with fax machines. You send them the fax, and they get a fax back for them. And that's what they are. But it's a badatz, okay? Which it's because it's a badatz, so it's okay by definition because it's badatz. Okay, let's move on. Okay, here's another whatever it is. So we have the same thing here. Kasher chalavi, may I? Go ahead. Ochle afkat chalav nachri bilvad, hashkachat badatz, chug harambam tzorfat. Our same guys. Nobody knows who they are really, but it's the Rabbanut Rashid himself says it's a paper game. They shuffle papers. Okay. Shuk amam takim. It's Machne Yehuda again. Remember, walking through the shuk. We have here candies, but that's Manchester. If you look here very clearly, each candy has the heksher of the Manchester basting on it, the MK symbol. Okay, that's very good. We have another one here, is Rabbi Schlesinger. These are like Good and Plenty for those of us who remember those old good old days. Good and Plenty from the States. So this is the similar type of candy from Rabbi Schlesinger in Switzerland. What's the problem?
Not legal.
What's not legal? Rabbi Schlesinger is legal. Not labeled. Okay, it's not labeled, so I don't know. How do I know that this is Rav Schlesinger? First off, how do I know that it's kosher, and how do I know that it's Rav Schlesinger's kosher? There is no answer to the question. Here's another one. Same store. Go ahead, click once, please. Thank you. Heksher OK. That we all, most of us recognize from the States. Next one, please. And here's the OK on the product. It's not the same at all. They're about 5,000 miles away from each other. This is a heksher from somebody in Madrid, the rabbi in Madrid. But again, the assumption is people aren't going to pay attention, and therefore, okay goes up, and okay doesn't come down. But again, people will see and buy because they just read the sign without paying attention. Okay, next one, please. Here's Hashgachat KF, Rabbanut Rashid Yisrael. Same question as before. It's not marked. How do I know what it, how do I know what, that it's really the KF? Here's another one. Okay, Chug Aram, here are friends from the Chug Rambam in France again. Avkat Cholav Nachri. Even if assumed that this is really their product, but the again, it's not labeled. So people always say to me, so when I go to the Shuk and I want to buy something, how do I buy it? I mean, what do I do? How do I check if it's really, it's real or not? So I always tell people, what you do is, and people won't do, I tell you now, 94.3% of the people in this room won't do it. And that is you go over to the guy and say, may I see some sealed bags of the product? You ask them. Now, it's when, like when I go to a wedding, so the first thing I do is, oh, there he goes again. I go off to the kitchen. And my wife, oh, there he goes again. That's what I do. That's how I live. And I check and I ask questions. But people feel uncomfortable doing it. People feel more uncomfortable doing that than they do asking a salesman about a shirt. People spend more time in buying a shirt or a pen than they do investigating the kashrus. And we'll see a story about that later on. Yeah, good question.
So if you do, because I know my husband and I would do that, or Dashiell Malinowitz, if I go in the store and I ask to see a sealed package, can I only buy the Good and Plenty from Schlesinger from the sealed package, or can I buy the stuff they've poured in the...
If you see, if they have empty packages, usually stores are not going to have three different supplies for the same candy. If they have empty packages of them there and they have full packages there, I think that you can buy there. But you need to ask, okay? And, yeah? So fruits and vegetables is a whole different ball game. And there, the fruits and vegetables, the truth of the matter is, I had some slides in here, but I took them out for the wrong reason, and I'm sorry that I did. The Rabbanut has, in theory, the Rabbanut has in place a system for Chumas and Maisos and Orla. They do have regular Rabbanut Hechsher Tudot for fruits and vegetables, and they have Mahajan ones. Usually the differences will be, at least again, in the slides that aren't in this show, unfortunately, is that the places where you'll have questions of Orla. There are different types of fruits, which are Machlokis, whether they're considered a fruit or a vegetable. And it's not only Machlokis, whether it's a Hadoma or a Ha'et, it's also a question whether it'll be a question of Orla or not. For instance, passion fruit or mango or papaya. Different questions about these things, whether they're considered fruit. So the passion fruit, for example, is one of the examples that the Rabbanut has, that they wouldn't let Mahajan store sell it. Afterwards, they found a way of getting stuff they knew that even if you assume it's a fruit, that it wasn't Orla, so then it came specially packaged, and then the Mahajan stores would sell it. Generally speaking, in Yerushalayim, the way the Rabbanut system works, they are supposed to be taking off Chumas and Maisos at the Shuk, Hasitana'i, at the wholesale market in Givat Shaul. Do they always get to everything? I'm a little bit doubtful about it. And in the Shuk as well, you see very often people are bringing in stuff. Some of it's marked properly, a lot of it isn't. Therefore, when you go, you need to look for places that have what you consider to be a reliable heksher where you go. Whatever you determine to be in what the Rabbanim here have told you, Rav Linitz or the others have told you, are there reliable heksher, those are the ones you need to look for. Oranges are less of a problem, for example, in Orla, but other fruits are really more problematic. And the Rabbanut puts out lists all year, as does everyone else. By the way, the reason I mention the Rabbanut all the time, it's not, I don't work in the Rabbanut. I used to. I don't work in the Rabbanut anymore. But they are the main system around in Israel. So if you have fruits, vegetables, again, you can think of chuma and mice in your house. For some of us, it's a pain. We don't like doing it. So we'd rather go somewhere else. But chuma and mice, you can take off in your house. It's not a problem. Orla is more of a question. And when you have fruits that have questionable percentages of Orla, you need to look for a better heksher for them. Okay, let's go ahead. Okay, here's another one. This is Rabbi Rubin. Sorry?
Yeah. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
In the instance of this store, for example, does this store as a whole have a heksher?
Very good question.
And then I have a follow-up question depending on the answer.
Possibly. Okay, so the answer is, to the best of my knowledge, there is no store that I know of that the whole store has a heksher. You know, for all the candies and everything else, I don't know of any store in Israel that has a heksher on everything. We'll see some examples of it later on. How it's misleading on the one hand, but it's very honest on the other hand. How the Rabbanut tells you what they do and don't give a heksher to. Yeah.
The Rabbanut gives
The rubber, the import division, they don't give a license to import. The law in Israel says that if you want to import something as kosher, it has to run through the import division and get approved by them.
So how did the Rambam product ever came through?
What's the answer? Right? Some people say pay taxes and some people don't. And some people do the right thing and some people do other things. And that's what these people are doing. They simply bypass the system. Yeah, good.
Does the package is saved, kosher v'ashkacha, okay, is yishur v'abadun ha-roshit Yisrael?
Correct.
So does this French have that yishur in place, or it's bypassed
rabbanut? They bypass the rabbanut completely because they know if they go to the rabbanut, they're not going to get it. So they just bypass the rabbanut and just put it out in the market. It's very simple. Yep, and it's actually, I mean, I remember when I was in the rabbinate, we once sued somebody. Again, like I said, it's Rachav Mineyam. We had somebody who made the marshmallows in South Africa many, many, many years ago using what's considered the kosher gelatin, which is the gelatin which is very much b'machlokas, by making kosher gelatin from treif animal bones. In any event, the rabbinate at one time approved it based on Rav Tzvi Yitzchak Frank and other poskim. So that guy made a special production of marshmallows, and then he made a special production of marshmallows using the treif gelatin and marked it kosher. And we took him to court, and we got to court, and the judge says, well, I ate it, and I'm still alive, so I don't see the damage that was done. So it depends, so sometimes the rabbanut, like I said, when you work with the system, when you're part of the system, it goes both ways. Okay, so now we have Rabbi Reuben candies. There we go. There he is, right there on the label. It's easy enough to identify because each individual candy has a hechsher on it.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
By the way, is that the same Rabbi Reuben that gives share on meat?
Correct. Rabbi Reuben from Rehovot.
A supermarket. It's known by certain supermarkets that Badafka, everything there is okay. With Orla and whatever. Where is their hechsher? And is there one? And what's the story? What do you do there?
In the
fruits and vegetables.
If you go to supermarkets, I don't know what supermarkets they have, the Yesh and others, whatever. You'll usually find in the meat section they'll have a hechsher, hopefully. In the fruits and vegetables section they'll have a hechsher. It could be one hechsher here and a different hechsher there. But you need to go in to see in each individual store. So for example, Rami Levy claims that all of their fruits and vegetables all over are all under Rabbi Reuben. Is it true or is it still true? I don't know. At one time it might have been true. I don't know if it's still true today. Rabbi Reuben is considered a very good hechsher in Israel. Yeah, he's also considered a very, very good hechsher. But again, so you'll have the hechsher in the meat department will be one, the hechsher in the fruit and vegetable will be another, and even in the meats, you'll have a whole slew of different meats, different hechsherim, because I only eat Rabbi Machbud, you only eat Rabbi Reuben, he only eats Eder Charedis, and this one only eats Beis Yosef, and you got to make everybody happy, so they bring it all in. So that's why. Yeah, so you buy the meat that you want, and again, you have to ask yourself, well, are they going to cut up the meat on the same machine that they cut that Yenim's meat on it? Can I, use it? Is it mamish treva? These are questions. But this is something that you need to ask the rabbi, among others, about how you should work in the store. But you go to different supermarkets and you want to buy cuts of meat. So do you have to wonder if they cut? Is it trefen? Is that guy's meat so trefen that if he used the same machine to cut this one that it's not? It's an interesting question. But that's why people usually usually buy with cuts of meat. They usually cut them on the spot, and the packaged meat usually comes packaged, prepackaged to there. There was another question. Someone had a question over here. Yeah.
Please forgive me.
Please.
This is your show, but I know my people. It can't be stressed enough that if someone tells you this is a Rav Reuben Hechsher and there's no Tehuda or no package seal, it's not called it having a Reuben Hechsher.
No, absolutely not.
And if someone tells you, call him Oitzer Badatz,
I love that. That's a great one.
That's not.
Right. We'll see in a few, as we go down, we'll see how the stores of Hashgacha Badatz, we'll see how that goes. Okay. Okay, so back up one, please. So now, go back one there. Right. So this is one. So now this is where remember in the candy store in the shuk, right? What hechsher is this one? The no man rebbe. The no man rebbe. There's no. You can call it the no name rebbe, the no name rebbe, whatever you want. But now, so stop and ask yourself a question. We just went through a whole bunch of products that were kosher. What bothers me? What is this doing in the store? Right now, remember the products that we saw that weren't packaged? All right.
The good and plenty.
The stuff from the KF in London, okay? And all of a sudden, so now I have to go back and say, everything else he's been telling me is now suspect as well. I mean, it was a suspect in the first place. But kosher can, when you see, he's also telling you that he's selling you stuff that isn't kosher. Kosher can has to make you wonder about everything else that's going on there. Again, people don't pay attention, which is exactly what they build their business on. Good. Hold on one second, please. Of course, these are many of the other candies that he has there. Everything without a hechsher. Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
So if you go to a butchery, like in the supermarkets, and they have, as you said, all the different brands of chicken, do you have to go ask to see a package where your Reuben chicken came from, the same way you'd have to see the sealed package of the candies?
So the truth of the matter is that you will usually find, not always, but usually find that nowadays most chickens, again, there's an except, obviously it's a big percentage that isn't, but many chickens already come prepackaged, whether it's Reuben, whether it's Eder, whether it's Landau, they come prepackaged. When you want to buy a fresh chicken, you have to make sure that the seal that's on them is still there. If you want to get a Reuben bird, then you've got to make sure that the Reuben sticker is on.
So
obviously that's the best way of doing it. On the other hand, if it's somebody that you trust to give you when you say it's a Reuben bird, that's what he's going to, if you trust the person to do that, that's fine, right? But other than that, you need to, if you want to get a Reuben bird or an Eder bird, you got to make sure that it's wearing Reuben shoes or Eder shoes. You got to make it check the leg and see what it says on it. Okay, good. Next, please. Okay, this is right at the beginning of the shuk. So we see here, three yichidot, Eder Charedis. Over here, 10 shekels for Eder Charedis. Over here on the right side, this is those ice things you put in the freezer, 10 shekels. Next. Okay. What are the problems? Anybody see problems here? The truth is there is no problem because it's Eder Charedis in Manchester and London and Badatz, Eder Charedis on the end, I guess. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is the following. This is packaged, and this is packaged, and all the rest of them are repackaged. It's not original packaging. It's the same questions we had before. How do I know that the guy is giving me what he claims? He claims it's Rube, he claims it's Ada, he claims it's Manchester, he claims it's London. How do I know? So maybe if the guy's wearing a yarmulke and you fact that maybe that makes you feel better that he's wearing a yarmulke, although we'll see in a minute that that's not true. But that doesn't prove anything. It doesn't prove anything. And again, it's back to the question of, we have to pay attention. This guy doesn't have a hechsher. He's presenting something to me that he repackaged as being whatever hechsher it is. Let's move on to the next slide. Look at the guy in the picture now. He took me, no, actually his name is David or something, but he saw me taking pictures. He was not impressed. So I hightailed it out of there, but I did manage to get a good shot of the picture of the repackaged stuff again anyway, so we can see what the problem is we have here. Okay. Okay, and this is a guy selling, as you can see, pomegranates. He makes juice or he sells you seeds of pomegranate. They just covered his face because b'chalzot, there are inyonim of Lashon Hara. Go back, please. Okay, so there's, by the way, in Hilchos Kashrus, there's a chumrah for some people not to talk Lashon Hara and Kashrus. Some people aren't makbid, but there's like a bare heitev in the end of Kuf Gimel that says you shouldn't talk too much Lashon Hara about Kashrus, so you have to be careful what you do. So as you see here, the guy is selling the stuff. You see a very nice firm lady coming here to buy the stuff from him. Interesting thing about the guy, I walked by once, and it was 1 o'clock, whatever it was. He took a box and just turned it upside down over his schayra, and walked off to Daven Mincha. Just left the store up, okay. Now, Let's go on to the next one. We'll see his two da. Okay, so I guess the two da speaks for itself. Sorry? Anyway, I don't know if you ever got a real one afterwards, but in any event, as they say in French, this just doesn't cut it. Okay, next please. Okay, Olam Shel Cafe. We are on Rehov Yafo, next to the Shuk. Olam Shel Cafe, Bahashkachat Abadatz. Okay, Hashkachat Abadatz. Can it get better than that, I ask you? Okay, we'll find out in a moment. Okay, let's move on. So here we go. This is the kind of stuff that they're selling. These are dried mushrooms. I've seen them in Japan, the ones next to them as well. All kinds of different, you see, spices, beans, all kinds of things. Next, please. All kinds of leaves, basil leaves, and all kinds of things. And of course, here's their tuda. Okay, let's zoom in a little bit on that. Okay, so now we have an issue here. Can we click once? Okay, we have a hechsher here from the Eidah Haredis, which is good. Next. And then we have, of course, a little detail that says here, Anu mashmirim ki motzrei tzmachim, the different types of herbs and things, b'mutag. It has a very specific name, which is called Chazara L'teva, Mahadrin, which comes from a place called Moshav Elenei Abba. Anybody ever hear of it? Don't feel bad, I didn't either. I asked Rabbi Google, and he says it's somewhere in the north of Israel. Don't know. Okay, so now, and of course, last but not least, HaKol HaRizah Chotemet Badatz Kazeh. Each package has to have the Hechsher of the Eidah Haredis on it. And last but not least, Tavshin Samach Zayin. I took this picture in Tavshin Ayin Gimel. Tavshin Ayin Gimel, 6 years later. Now, can somebody help me walk through the problems we have here?
Well, it says package, each piece has a package.
Number one, it's the Motzrei Tzmachim, okay? And some of the stuff they have is not exactly Tzmachim. It has to be packaged, right? Each package has to have a Hechsher. It has to come from a company called Chazara L'Teva. It has to come from Moshav Elenei Abba. Does any of that have anything to do with anything that we saw in the store? So I went over to the Baal HaBayis and I said, Rebid, Zugmir, Hechsher? Yeah, maybe I have a Hechsher? He says, what are you talking about? You just looked at the Hechsher on the wall, on the door. And I will tell you that I saw people who could be sitting in this room very comfortably in the store buying all kinds of things. Okay? So, and then let's move on. And therefore, this has absolutely nothing to do with anything they're selling, but if you read the line, you read the sign again, Olam Shel Cafe and Hashgachat Habadatz. Yeah?
Why does the Eidah Haredis write such a thing? What's the purpose of it? If it only applies to things that are packaged and have a Badatz Hashgach on it, so then...
Can you answer the question, please?
It's just a fool. Aren't they to blame that they write something like that?
When the storekeeper is buying
it. It's nothing to do with the Eidah Haredis. I can make a sign and put anything. I can write on it. I don't think anybody will believe me, but I could write on the Hashgachas Moshe Rabbeinu.
I don't mean what he writes on the store. I mean that tuda that we saw. What is the point?
It's nothing to do. The Eidah Haredis gives a store to this Moshav Elenei Abba, whatever it's called. They give a Hechsher, a piece of paper to the factory. The factory sells to this store. The guy says, I need a Hechsher. He says, okay. So he gives him a piece of the paper. The store owner takes it and sticks it on the wall in the door. People walk by it, Eidah Haredis. First off, they say it says Badatz, they say Eidah Haredis, and they walk right by and they buy. What's the idea is that people aren't paying attention. And that's exactly what the businesses are built on, the fact that we're not going to pay attention to the little details. That's all see is Kiddush Levana up there, but we're not paying attention to the details. Okay. Shoot.
In the previous slide back, can we
do... Yeah.
I apologize if you've asked
me. But please. Right.
Versus sometimes
the usual symbol that you used to. There's some things that the Eidah Haredis, for example, if you look on bleach, or there's some things that are not really food or not so complicated as far as food kashrus is concerned. So therefore, they'll often write on it this kind of thing, Mutam Usha Mitama Badatz. For instance, if you look at their oven cleaner, Most people don't need oven cleaner. But if you look on it, you'll see this sign on the on it as well. You won't see the usual Hechsher sign of the Eide Charedis. Okay, let's skip over. Okay. Okay, let's go on. And now, why did these things disappearing? Okay, we're going to just walk through some of the restaurants. None of us would eat there. But this is a restaurant called Istanbuli with a Hechsher of, can you zoom in there? Thank you. Ateris Mahadrin. Anybody ever hear of them? Okay, there's a reason that you've never heard of them, because it's one of these fly-by-nights that the Rabbanut Rashid actually put out a list many years ago saying, these are a bunch of Hechsherim that are not worth the paper that they're printed on. Yeah? I'm sorry, you have to speak louder. Okay. It's a good thing you're all sitting down. As far as I know, there are four people in Israel who are working on enforcement. There's one who sits in Yerushalayim. He runs the shop, as it were. His name is Rafa Yochai. And he has, I think, three people working throughout the country trying to do enforcement. In French, we call that the Gelechter. Right? But that's what it is, because the government funds a lot of things that they shouldn't be funding, but some things that might be more important don't seem to be getting the funding that they deserve. So there really isn't a lot of there isn't really a lot of enforcement going on. The Rabbanut does put out, for example, every week or every 2 weeks, they put out a list of all the different forgeries and things that they found throughout the country. And they sometimes they break it down by city or by importer or whatever it is. They put out lists of. But how many people in this room even know that such a list exists? Right. Most of the things we wouldn't end up using, in other words, we wouldn't use them in our houses in any way, in our homes in any way, because we're looking for very specific Hechsherim. People don't usually forge the Eide Charedis, they don't usually forge Rabbi Rubin, they don't usually forge Rav Landa. It doesn't happen very often. But the other things people play games with without any qualms. So the Rabbanut put out a list of Hechsherim that are that the Rabbanut itself considers to be second rate, and this is one of them. It's a paper. A few months later, they changed their still names. The name is the same, but now they have a different Hechsher. And by the way, this is just a rule of thumb. The fancier the Hechsher is, the Tuda is, the more you have to be careful.
Why is that? What's the psychology?
The psychology is because if it looks good, it must be good. But the fact of the matter is, this is a nice Tuda, right? But this is another one. Can you zoom in there? Thank you. Chassidei Rupshitz. Anybody ever hear of them? I know you've heard of Chassidei Rupshitz, but have you ever heard of the Hechsher of Chassidei Rupshitz? Okay. So it's, again, one of these fly-by-night organizations. They actually have two Hechsherim. We'll see in a minute. But this is, again, one of the things that the Rabbanut says is not worth the paper it's printed on. Okay, you guys ready for this one? Okay. Matam Chofetz Chaim. Oh no. So Rabbi Rubin gives a Hechsher to Matam Chofetz Chaim, and Rabbi Rubin, being who Rabbi Rubin is, lists the 51 products in this store that are under his Hashgacha. Because he doesn't give a Hechsher to Heinz ketchup from the States or for cranberry sauce or anything. He gives a Hechsher to the meat, only to the meat. And only, okay, and they're only selling, in his store, they're only selling his meats. That's all they're selling. So he does it the right way. He lists exactly what he's giving a Hechsher to. Each one has to have a hologram on it, okay, with a Hechsher of Rabbi Rubin on it. Obviously, the stuff you buy in the store is not going to have a Hechsher on it because it's there. But any stuff you buy packaged, and when I travel, I go to them all the time to buy meat to take with me when I travel. It always comes, they put a hologram on it. Again, as he says, and this is one of the things you have to take a little pay attention to. Hino chalak glat lelo ririn ledat habet Yosef ulchol deot vashitot. Rabbi Rubin says that the shechita that I follow covers all bases, Ashkenaz, Svard, and anything in between. Most of the shechitos in Israel, actually, if anybody's planning on, repeat again. I asked people at the beginning, please not to record, and there is a recording going on in my pocket. I have my phone on, and I hope it's working. But I asked people not to record, so please respect my wishes. Okay, so most of the different people who do shechita, Rav Landau, And Rav Rubin Rav Machbud, many of these people, they try to cover all the bases because Ashkenazim have chumas that the Sfaradim don't have, and Sfaradim have chumas that the Ashkenazim don't have, and kulas goes both ways, of course, as well. But they try, so Rubin says, they cover all bases, so that way Sfaradim can eat without any qualms. Okay. And here's our list of fake hechsherim that the Rabbanut itself put out a number of years ago. This is from 2008. Okay. So again, we see some of the ones we see here. The top, the middle, we've seen. Bottom, in the middle left, we've seen. Other ones, again, they come and they go like the rains, like the winds in the night. Okay, next. Ochel bekef. Here we go. Peir, clicking on there one. Rupshitz. Ooh, that's our second Rupshitz group. Okay. What are they doing here? Don't know, but the Rabbanut says that they are a fly-by-night organization. By the way, one of these hechsherim, the Rabbanut went to one of the stores and gave the guy a fine, and he sued the Rabbanut. Well, I have my hechsher. So what the Rabbanut went to the Rabbanut took him, he took the Rabbanut to court, and the Rabbanut put him on the stand, and he said, "How often does the Mashgiach come?" He says, "He comes once a month." Why? He got to pick up his check. So the court understood that this hechsher was really not worth very much, and the guy lost the case, and that was the end of it. Okay. Melech HaFalafel Vashwarma. This is on King George. We're walking up in King George now. Now I ask you, is that not an impressive tuda? All right. I mean, this is serious. Okay. And okay, let's click in here. This is Tiferes Hakashus, not Stam Kashus. Tiferes Hakashus. Okay. Okay, and this is, again, this is one of the organizations that Rabbanut says stay away from, but it looks good. And for your typical Israeli, it might be fine. If we have time, we'll talk about that as well. Okay, again, how did you get over here? Okay, whatever. This is from a number of years ago, Ulamei Or Yitzhak, this is in Binyan Klal, Kashal Mahajan. I went in there, and here's the tuta hanging on the wall. So I said to the Balabais, outside it says it's Mahajan. I come inside, and it says kosher. So he says, "Well, if you want, I'll order Mahadran chickens for you." Okay. Again, the sad thing is that we're laughing, but how many people fall for these things? That's the sad part. Anybody know this store? Basher, the cheese store. It's now in the back of Machnivud on Agrippas. This used to be in the center of town, and right in the middle of the shuk. Go ahead. Okay, amazing assortment of cheeses and wines. Okay, this is the kind of cheese that if you get a flat tire, you can use this one to change it. These are the cheeses that the Chazal talk about waiting 6 hours. This kind of cheese needs to wait 48 hours until it goes through the system. Okay, now they have a whole bunch of cheeses. Now take a look here. We'll see. This is all right. Chalavi Israel, Hashgachad Ramoshed Alon Tzarfat. Okay, Chaliva mi Chaliva ad Gemar Asiya. Okay, and here's another one. Go ahead, another one with his hechsher. Another one with his hechsher. So I called the Rabbanut. They said, "Well, who is this guy?" They said they're not sure exactly what he is, but they're not exactly sure that the cheeses are actually kosher. They're not even sure that the cheeses are kosher. Forget Chaliv Yisrael. Forget any of that. They're not even sure that the cheeses are kosher. Okay, this is his stuff, Parmesan, 28%. Kosher l'mahadrin, stam. Okay, here's a letter that the Rabbanut put out. Again, this is going back 6 years, but almost 7 years. So this is a letter from the Rabbanut put out. One more. The London-based inn has notified us about the many complaints they've received from consumers who purchased cheeses in the Basher store in Machne Yehuda in Yerushalayim that were presented to them as being KLBD, Kosher London Baked Inn. Despite them never having to certify the products, the following is a list of them, blah, blah, blah. The Yerushalayim Rabbinate has said this store is not supervised by them. They take no responsibility for the products sold there, no matter what anybody says. So, notice. What's the picture? What's interesting about the picture? The guy's wearing a yarmulke. Oh, yeah. And not only that, kippa shchora. Sruga, but shchora. So what does that tell you? What is it? Maybe he doesn't know. Or the fact that somebody's wearing a yarmulke doesn't prove anything. That's really what it comes down to. This is concept that people have, that people always come up with this question of, but Eid Echad Neman Bisurin. Eid Echad Neman Bisurin, it comes up all the time. So the halacha is Eid Echad Neman Bisurin when the Eid Echad is a Neman Bisurin. It's not a klal halacha. A person's Mechal Shabbos, a person doesn't keep kosher, isn't a Neman to tell you about what it is that he's not being Mekayim. A person eats treif, you can't rely on him to say that this is happens to be a kosher piece of meat or whatever. There's a famous tshuva of in Igros Moshe about a father who was in communist Russia. This is going back, obviously, when Rav Moshe was, we're talking about, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100 years ago. And the guy was living by his daughter, and his daughter was a communist, a hardcore communist. And the only place he could live was with her. And he was worried about the kasher. So Rav Moshe said that when it comes to your daughter, because she's your daughter, and as much as she hates what you stand for, she still is your daughter, and she's not going to go out of her way to be machshel you and give you treif. So therefore, Rav Moshe said, in your particular situation, you can, if she tells you that what she's giving you is kosher, is fine. But stam, a person is, who doesn't himself doesn't live that lifestyle, is not neman to give you an okay for something that's connected to that lifestyle. If he tells you a piece of meat isn't kosher and he eats treif, you can't rely on him. And that's something that people have to realize. That the question, as I said, the question comes up all the time, but people have to realize that Eid Echad Neman Bisurin is not an ironclad rule. There are a lot of exceptions to the rule. Okay. Go on. Okay, this is Pitzuchim. As you see, it has a Hechsher from Rabbeinu Yerushalayim Mahadrin. Okay, and it also has a Hechsher from Beit Yosef Mahadrin. By the way, notice okay, this is the different thing. You notice here, Motzarei Hamanchis, Ful Afuna, sounds familiar. Like in the other store, they're not giving Hechsher to that. This is the different things that they're selling here. They're selling dried fruits and pitzuchim and stuff. We see it all here. Next, please. Ah, there we go. Okay, so now let's go back. I'm sorry. Continue on. One more. Okay. This is, anybody recognize, those people coming from England will recognize Bassett's candies. Okay. So this is the famous company. Let's go on. Next one. Now let's take a look at what the Tuda actually says. It's a Mahajan Tuda, correct? Shteit Mefurish. But read the little letters in the middle. Achrayutenu hi achvarak al kitnius. We give we're taking responsibility only for the kitnius. Pitzuchim. We know what that is. Garinim and things. Perot yiveshim, dried fruit. And not on anything else sold in this store like chocolate or candy. Next. Beit Yosef. Go click it. Pitzuchim v'perot yiveshim bilvad. Bilvad. So if you rely on Beit Yosef, you rely on Rabbeinu Yerushalayim Mahadrin, it's nothing to do with the candies that you're buying here. Now, if you notice, it's in big letters, but how many people are going to read what it says? And of course, we have, as I mentioned before, the munchies we have. Okay, next, please. This one, this is a store selling fish putting a Eid HaRedis tuda down the window in the doorway, just like everybody else did. We'll skip through this because we've already seen the idea how people play with it. Go ahead, skip on, just to skip through it. He puts up something that's not at all connected to his store. Okay. Click. Next. Again. Anybody see the difference? So go ahead. So as we said, this one does not have a Hechsher on it, whereas this one does. And both of them were sold in Israel. Interesting. So now you'll tell me, it's Gzeira Shava, Mentos, Mentos. So I just want to show you here, Mentos, I travel around, I've been to about 30 countries in the world, and whenever I go, I try to take interesting pictures. So this is Mentos sold, can you click on that please? This is Mentos in, under license from Netherlands, but produced in Indonesia. If you look in the middle of the second line, Van Melle, Indonesia, next. For some reason, the slideshow is not working. It is again, Mentos, next. This one's from, anybody see? Up there, Vietnam. Okay, next. Ah, more Mentos. I'm fixated with Mentos. Go ahead, next. Made in China. Okay, so there is no Xavier Shava. Mentos. Kosher here, must be kosher there. M&M's. Okay. Made in. Product of China. See over here, product of China. I remember I was in Thailand once and they had cookies and cream bars. I don't eat them because I only eat Chol HaMishpacha. I said, oh, now I can tell people that there's cookies and cream to be bought. And I turned it over and it's made in China with no hasher. Okay. So here, nuggets, cookies, and cream, white chocolate with cookies, produced in? Go ahead. Produced in PR of China, People's Republic of China. Made to the standards of Hershey's, but treif is treif, even if it is Hershey's. Okay. This is an interview that was with Rabbi Rafi Yochai. He's the director of the Kashrus Fraud Unit in Rabbanut. Eight and a half years ago. So we'll just go into the English. Click once, please. So should we rely on the Rabbanut? And by the way, it's not only Rabbanut, but it's just this is the question he was asked. Should we rely on the Rabbanut to look for places with private hechsherim? This is the question he was asked. So an important rabbi called and asked about the level of Rabbanut supervision. I answered, you educated whole generations to eat Rabbanut for ideological reasons. Just like you have people who will eat only a certain hechsher, either Haredis or whatever, also for ideological reasons. They don't even know why the other Hechsherim aren't good, but they just know that we don't eat them. Okay, in any event, so the result is that those people think that their blind acceptance strengthens the Rabbanut, so they sit and eat anywhere. Okay, now, this is wrong. Store owners realize that there's a significant group of those with kippot srugot, and I will add with kippot shchorot as well, and with suits, and with hats. Who, when seeing a Rabbanut Tudah or a Rabbanut Mahajan Tudah, for example, automatically sit and eat. But wait, what does the Tudah say? Is there a Mashgiach present? Do the leafy vegetables have a Hechsher? How about Bishul Akum? We've reached a state where these store owners scorn these people and the kashas they accept, and the Rabbanut has been the main victim. I want people to ask, where's the Mashgiach? This is the guy from the Rabbanut. Where's the Mashgiach? They should speak to him. They should check if the Tudah has expired and check the level of kashas. This will let them both eat without hesitation and strengthen the Rabbanut. And it's not only the Rabbanut. Again, the question was asked about the Rabbanut. It's a general principle that people know if I have a certain Hechsher, all the different ones we saw before, people are going to come in and buy. Okay. One more. Thank you. Here we go. This was Halichot. It was published by the Moatza Datit in Tel Aviv in 1961. Okay, so this was a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives you a lot of Siyat Yishmai, I would find all these things. So this is an adaptation from the Hebrew that we saw. Beware Kashrus ahead. In the treasures of stories from Alfas, that does mean the Rif. Rav Alfas was a rabbi who lived in Tel Aviv. We found an amazing parable about one's obligation to be careful with the performance of mitzvahs. A man brought a pair of tefillin to be checked and discovered they were puzzled. There are no parshiyos inside. He said, it's not my problem, they're various the sellers. Listening on the side was the town's goldsmith. Sometime later, the same man bought a diamond ring and brought it to the goldsmith for an appraisal. He said, the setting seems to be gold, but the diamond is fake. It's a piece of glass. I paid top dollar for that diamond, he cried. It's okay, said the goldsmith. The aver is the seller's. Big deal. What do I care whose aver it is? I was cheated. The smith said to him, listen to your own words. When it came to tefillin, it's a seller's aver. But in the meantime, you aren't fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin. Moral of the story, don't rely on others. Before you eat, check the kashrus. Move on, please, and this is for those. Okay, so let's go back. What am I looking for? A Hechsher, a reliable Hechsher. As we saw, there are different people rely on certain things, and there's certain Hechsher that everybody considers beyond the pale. The correct Hechsher. In other words, I want to have Rabbanut Yerushalayim in Yerushalayim, Tel Aviv in Tel Aviv, but the store for the Badatz giving a Hechsher here, that it applies to the store. Check the name of the store, the address of the store, the Tudah that expired before it started, even as we saw in the beginning. Disclaimers or comments. We don't cover, or Hechsher doesn't cover, whatever. And of course, Kashrus claims. My orange juice and my carrot juice is Mahajan. And of course, it's always nice to find a Mashgiach. It isn't always easy to do, but it is nice to find a Mashgiach. So this is Woody Allen, a quote from Woody Allen. Many, many years ago, he came out with a movie called Annie Hall. Now, I don't know what the big deal was about Annie Hall. I'm not a mumcha in Woody Allen, but Newsweek felt that they had to devote 17 pages to Woody Allen and to this movie. Basically, Okay, in any event, so they had in one of the pages, they had a big box there, and in the box they had this quote, "If my movie makes even one more person feel more miserable, I'll feel I've done my job." For those of us who grew up and know what Woody Allen was, he has a lot of peklach in his brain. He got a lot of problems. This is his way of looking at the world. Okay, I have a different take on it, and that is, if my lecture makes even one more person feel more aware, I'll feel I've done my job. Okay, so now, that's the end of the slide. It's low, and Baruch Hashem, I'm happy to see that the computer made it through. What I want to go back, I just want to touch on a few questions that people ask. In this neighborhood, or in this shul, say it's very easy to give a hechsher. Here's a great question. I mean, it's easy to give lectures on kashrus and to tell, you have the Rav here tells you what yes or what no. Here's a great question. You are all the chief rabbis of Israel. Okay? You can be rebbetzins, whatever you want. Here's the question. Pesach is coming up. I have a treif restaurant. And I need kosher Pesach rolls. So in America, they would say, what have you been smoking? Okay? You have a treif restaurant, and you want to have kosher Pesach rolls. Did I miss something here? Let's go back. How many people have been living in Israel for more than, say, 5 years? Okay. How many of you people realize that most of the people living in Israel are not frum? And how many people realize that most of the people who are living in Israel are actually Sfaradim? Sfaradim. Edot Mizrach. Interestingly enough, when an Ashkenazi walks away from Yiddishkeit, he walks and runs and never turns back. Sfaradim always keep the kesher. They always. That's why you'll find a father sitting in shul next to his son. The father looks relatively normal. The son has what they call the rastot, as they call it. You know, the point with the hair. And he's got, I mean, the earrings and the necklaces and the tattoos. And all, but they're sitting next. He's sitting next to his father in shul, and he's singing lechadodi or whatever it is that Sfaradim do, right? After that, they're going to go out and do what they want to do. But the Sfaradim managed to keep a real kesher, even though they don't follow it, they don't live it. Think about when Rav Avadya died, okay? How many people came to Rav Avadya's funeral? I was in Japan at the time. On the news, they said 800,000 people came to his levaya. A lot of them weren't Sfaradim. A lot of them were Ashkenazim. A lot of them who came also weren't even frum. But the Sfaradim have some sort of kesher, something that keeps them tied. And as far as they drift, there's always some that they have more of the pintaliyid, I guess, than we do. When the Rabbanut system was designed for people who care little about kashrus. They want to have kashrus, they want to have kosher, but they don't want it to be too interfering, too heavy. They're not interested in chumrot, they're not interested in everything else. The people want to know that there's a piece of paper on the wall and it says kosher, and therefore I can sit and eat, here. That's what they're interested in, most of the people. That's why, interesting, I just read yesterday a survey that 48% of people will just see a Rabbanut Tudah, and that's good enough for them. This is a survey done, a general population survey. 48% of people will see a Rabbanut Tudah and will sit down and eat. Most of them, I can tell you, are Sfaradim. Right? Because they want to keep that connection. The Rabbanut system was designed for people to make sure that these people are eating kosher food. So that Shulamit Aloni, the name Yossi Sarid, people like that, are going to be eating kosher food whether they like it or not. The way that the Rabbanut has done that is done by doing something very simple. They set up a kashrus system with a low level of kashrus. A low level of kashrus. It's done that way in order to enable the Rabbanut to give heksher to more people. Well, let me put the question this way. Would we rather see people eating treif or eating kosher b'di'evid? Anybody want to venture a guess? Is it better for them to eat treif or eat kosher b'di'evid? Rabbi? Better to eat treif or eat kosher b'di'evid?
For the population, it's better to eat kosher b'di'evid, but the standards of this shul and in this neighborhood...
Oh, of course, I'm not talking about this shul.
It has to be said, because 80% of your lecture was about Rabbanut.
Right.
And Rabbanut is not acceptable.
Correct. Correct. And that's why, as I said before, the reason I focus so much on the Rabbanut is because they're out there. In this kehillah, right? And not only in this kehillah, but kehillahs like this, The Rabbanut is not considered an acceptable hesher, and there's a good reason for it, because this system was designed for a low level of kashrus. That's why you need to look for a higher level of kashrus. The Rabbanut system was designed with a low level of kashrus. And that's why if you go out, you have to realize that when you're going out shopping for anything, Rabbanut is not the place to look. Rabbanut is not the place to look. You have to look for things which are mahadrin, dafka mahadrin. And that can be, it can be whether it's milk, you're going to use Tanuva Mahajan, you're going to use Badatz Mahajan, if you can use Rabbi Mahajan for his things, you have to realize that the Rabbanut system was designed for the people who don't really care about kashrus that much. And the truth of the matter is, when I speak in yeshivas, and I speak in all kinds of yeshivas, Kipot Zugot, Kipot Shorot, whatever you want, all kinds of places, and when people understand that the system was designed for people who are the b'di'evet type people, better to eat b'di'evet than to eat treif, I always ask the simple question, if you were the chief rabbi, what kind of kashrus would you set up? And I always get the answer, for amcha, I would set up a low level of kashrus, but for people who care more about kashrus, for people who are more medactic in the Torah and mitzvos, you have to realize that the level of kashrus is not a level that would be considered acceptable in this kehillah or in many other kehillahs. And in fact, my personal feeling is that if a lot of the world of the Olam Kippot HaSukkot understood the way the Rabbanut system worked, they wouldn't use the Rabbanut system either. They would also look for Mahadrin. They would also look for the different Badatzes. Now, not all Badatzes are created equal. Not all of them are created equal. Some of the Badatzes are no different than Rabbanut. I'm not going to give out names. As mentioned, there's Lashon Hara. I don't want to get sued for slander either. There was a case where one rabbi got up on a Shabbos HaGadol and said, you can't use Elite products this year on Pesach. This is many years ago. Next day he got a letter from Elite. You should find another place to live because we're going to sue you and we're going to take your house and everything else you own. I'm not interested in losing my house or anything else. But the bottom line is that many of the Badatzes are not what they like to portray themselves as. And that's why we have to realize that there are very big differences between Rabbanut, very big differences between Rabbanut and Badatz. And between Badatz and Badatz there are as well. Some of them are chumrot beyond chumrot, but some of them are things which are so pasha to us that we can hardly understand how people can get away with it. I'll just give one example as you had before, the question of Orla. It's a very question of what's considered miut hamatzi for Orla. It goes from 3% all the way up. The most makil, 15, 16%. I don't know of any of the poskim in the Torah world who would go for such a high number, 15, 16, 17%. But if I have to choose between, for amcha, eating that, or eating something which is vaday orla, I'd rather go for that. But for us, ma pitam. We're not looking for kulos, we're looking to follow Ritzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're looking to follow what the Shulchan Aruch says, lechatchila. And we have to realize that that's what we are looking for. And the purpose of the lecture, as I said, as the Rav said before, I focused a lot on Rabbanut because we realize, again, a lot of the examples apply to other things. We saw how people hang tudot from Chasam Sofer as well. People play games with all kinds of tudot, right? They play games with all kinds of people. The purpose was to wake us up to realize that we have to pay attention. It's not a scam. It's not that there are hechsherim that are looking for money. I'm not going to tell you it's not true. Absolutely true. I'll tell you one story that happened many, many years ago. One of the hechsherim, they met with Rav Shapira, and they said that we need to have our own hechsher so our people can eat our hechsher. So the Rav said, if you're worried about your kehillah, why don't you take care of Eruvin and Mikvos? Why are you focusing on kashrus? So the guy was quiet. So Rav Shapira said to him, I'll tell you why. Because that's where the money is. And he was quiet. But they're not all that way. I spent time in Japan with Rabbi Binder from the Eidei Charedis. The man is a mumcha's mumcha. The guy is amazing, absolutely amazing to be with. Right? There are some people who are beyond, just above and beyond. They're just amazing people when it comes to kashrus. You have to know, you have to listen to the rabbanim. Who are the people who are really reliable and who are people a little bit more iffy? Let's be nice about it. Yeah, please. Please, please.
When you look into a hechsher and you talk to people who are knowledgeable in the field of kashrus, you have to realize there's two things to look into. And you have to talk to people like Rabbi Licker who are knowledgeable. One is the Hechsher's standards, and the other one is if they indeed implement their standards. Because a lot of times you can have a Hechsher that has wonderful standards, but their system of implementation is very lacking. So you have to talk to people knowledgeable in the field. There's no way a layman or even this rabbi could know. You have to talk to people who are knowledgeable. But remember that there's two things. There's the standards, and then there's the implementation of the standards. And that's two very important things. If I can just give
please be my guest.
For example, Rabbi Licker said over and over again, you have to be on the ball. You have to be alert. So I have to tell you just such an egregious attempt to fool people. Sold in a store in my neighborhood in Yerushalayim where I live. It's a packaged sandwich. Now, many packaged sandwiches have the Bedat Hechsher on them. But this one says, Kol HaMotrim B'Hashgachas HaBedat HaGreis. And the words Kol HaMotrim are in a very light ink. And the words B'Hashgachas HaBedat HaGreis are in very dark ink. So your average person picking it up, sees Bahashgachas HaBedat HaGreis, might not be smart enough to realize that there's no symbol. But what's much worse, everybody here knows I'm very darshaning against Kol HaMotrim B'Dat. It's essentially meaningless, unless you really, really, really trust the person. That's a whole...
another can of worms.
But this one is even worse, because it was and the guy used light ink for Kol HaMotrim and dark ink for Bahashgachas HaGreis.
Okay, I'll give you a few short horror stories, going back years. I get a phone call one night, somebody says, hi, my name is Fred. I'm being sent by Hashgacha X tomorrow to Italy to do a production of cultures for yogurts. Okay, what can I do for you? He says, well, what do I do when I get there?
Oh my God.
So I said to him, the first thing you do is you call up your boss and tell him you're not going. And then I spent an hour on the phone with him, and after the hour I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a phone number of a friend of mine, Rabbi Zusha Blech, Zecher Tzadik Livrachi, just died a few months ago. Rabbi Blech, who's considered one of the world's mumchim in food technology and kashrus, amazing person. And I said, call him. A few weeks later, I speak to Rabbi Blech, and I said, Rabbi Blech, he says, Tzvi, thanks for sending me the reference. I said, oh, my pleasure. So I said, what did you tell him? He says, well, first thing I told him, he says, first thing you call your boss and tell him you're not going. And then I spent 2 hours on the phone explaining to him what he's looking for. And he went, and he did whatever it is that he did, I don't know. And that's it. But it was about that Hechsher. Many years ago, came Shemitah time. People don't rely on the Heta Mechira. So you had some kind of a candy that had a peanut inside. It's a peanut, it's a chocolate coating with some sort of gooey, ichy, whatever, and a peanut inside. And of course you can't use the Heta Mechira stuff, so they saved up the peanuts from Shana Shishis. And what happens when you save peanuts for a whole year? They get wormy. But the main thing that they felt was that they didn't use the Heta Mechira, so they used the wormy peanuts instead. Just one more story. Someone calls me up. I'm from Badat's Q. I'm going to a factory, a pineapple factory or something. What do I do when I get there? So I'm saying to myself, my goodness, what in the world are these people thinking? As the Rav said, their standards and then their way of implementing the standards. Many of the Hashgachas have amazing standards, but the people that they're working with, I'm talking about Badat's, that some of the people they're working with, they don't know. They've never been outside of Beis Medrash. They don't know letters of English. They don't know anything. And these people are being sent to all kinds of places all around the world. I know that, for instance, the Eder Charedis wouldn't stand for such a thing. I know Rabbi Rubin wouldn't stand for such a thing. Rav Landa wouldn't stand for such a thing. But other people do it. And that's why not all Badatzes are created equal. And that's why, as I said, I'm not going to start pointing, you know, giving out the report cards to people, but you have to realize that not all bagatzes are created equal. You need to ask people, and by the way, in case anybody entertains the thought, my wife said I'm not allowed to give out my phone number or my email address, so if you have any questions, it'll be a bit of a problem to get a hold of me, because otherwise, as the Rav would know, you have no day or no night. Yeah, go ahead. All Rabbanuts are created equal because every Rabbanut, this is an amazing thing, every Rabbanut determines its own standard of kashrus. So Rabbanut Yerushalayim's standard of kashrus will be completely different from Tel Aviv, different from Haifa, different from Afula. So this is the way all the Rabbanuts, every Rabbanut sets its own standard. Now, Rabbi Rubin, many years ago, was the OU representative here in Israel. And when he was visiting factory after factory after factory for the OU, he saw how not only the standards were so different, but how terrible the standards were. And he invented this something called Rabbanut Mahadran. Rabbi Rubin was the one who invented Rabbanut Mahadran.
But my understanding is that in a plain Rabbanut, please correct me, that if it's plain Rabbanut, not Rabbanut Mahadran, then every Rabbanut has to accept
Exactly right. Please finish the sentence, please.
Every Rabbanut Yerushalayim has to accept an oil, an olive oil with Rabbanut Hefsher that's made in Kiryat Shmona.
Correct. So every Rabbanut, by law, must accept every other Rabbanut's Hefsher. Must accept every other. Now, even if you know that there's a problem, you can deal with it. You can go to the Mu'etzet Rabbanut, the Council of Rabbanut, the Chief Rabbinate, and file a complaint. Tell me about it.
And that's not true by Rabbanut Mahadran.
And Rabbanut Mahadran doesn't even, you see, the thing is, kosher is, there's some sort of standards in the, you know, there's some law that determines what's kosher, what's not kosher, who determines, but there is no concept of Mahadran in the law. So therefore, Rabbi Rubin came up with this idea of kosher la Mahadran. He said, if you want to use this oil from, where did you say from? From Kiryat Shmona, that's fine, but I'll give you a regular Rabbanut Hechsher. If you want a Rechovot Mahadran Hechsher, you have to use the oil I tell you that comes from Be'er Sheva, only from Be'er Sheva. You do things my way, you get a Mahadran. You don't, you get the regular Rabbanut Hechsher, which is fine. There's one little problem. Just like every Rabbanut sets its own standard for kosher, they set their own standard for Mahadran. There is no standard of Mahadran. For example, let's take the OU. The OU has an office in New York, Kimi, New York, Teitze Sora. The same rules are used in, whether it's in Idaho or whether it's in Florida, they use the same OU rules. They, the Haredis, have their rules. It's the same rules are used in this bakery and the same used in that bakery. Every Rabbanut, though, sets its own standard, and every Rabbanut sets its own Mahadran standard.
Why don't you call up the rabbi and say, can I use Rabbanut Mahadran Hechsher to Netanya? My answer is, I have no idea.
Correct. You have no idea. Do we need to stop?
Yeah. Well, you have till 10:14.
Till 10:14. Okay, fine. Okay, let's take a few questions then. Yeah, go ahead. The Rabbanut has there are no real resources for the Tzibur. There are no real resources. What do I think about Kosherot?
They have a website.
They have a website. Okay, that's good. The survey that I mentioned before showed that I think 30% of people would be willing to use the Kosherot Hechsher. Of the general population. People won't trust private Hechsherim. I'm not very impressed with Kosherot. Sorry?
I meant for information.
Oh, for information. Yeah, you could get information from them. But again, they're also very controversial people because they are, this is one of the problems I have with the Kosherot Hechsher, is that although the Rabbanut, in my opinion, has very serious shortcomings when it comes to many areas, including kashrus, ultimately the Rabbanut is the last bastion between everything falling apart, including Gittin Kiddushin, including Mamzerim, all kinds of other things. And that's why you'll find that as much as people attack, as in the Haredi world, they attack the Rabbanut. When it comes to taking the Rabbanut apart, they don't go for it. They vote against it. They always stand behind the Rabbanut because they recognize that ultimately the Rabbanut is the one line of defense between complete anarchy like in America coming into this country. And that's why people do not People will, even though you don't rely on the Rabbanut, but the Rabbanut does have one, they have that thing about them. And that's why one of the problems with kosherot is when you undermine kosherot, they were working with a guy, Hashgacha Pratit, the guy in Yerushalayim. And when he told me that the people in Meretz were backing him, I said, you don't realize. You think that you're doing something good by strengthening kashrus. They're using you as a tool to dismantle the Rabbanut. This is the first step of dismantling the Rabbanut. And that's why private hechsherim are a problem. The badatzes, let's assume that they're, you know, more or less on target. So that's less of an issue. But you have people who just fly by night, people who just feel bad for the consumers. It doesn't work. And they are undermining the Rabbanut, and ultimately it will cause the downfall of the Rabbanut, leading to all the other issues that we don't think about when we think about kashrus. Okay, I'm in good company. Yeah, go ahead.
What do you think about restaurants or bakeries that have a proper, even behind the shop, if you walk in there and it's like trying to do that sort
of thing? Very good. So the question is, you go to places and there are Arabs all over the place, okay? And forget the question of Bishul Yisrael and Afiyas Yisrael and the things of that nature. But how can you trust that the flour is being sifted properly? How can you know that the eggs are being checked? All these different issues, how can you know? The truth of the matter is that you can't really know. You can't really know. That's why you have the hechsherim that we rely on, the different badatzes, hopefully have much more control over what goes on. People don't usually, nowadays in big factories, for example, in restaurants, they still crack eggs. In most factories, they buy wholesale eggs. Everything comes with an Eidah Haridis, by the way. But you don't really know who's checking, who, if the eggs are being checked or the flour is being sifted.
You can't, if you go to get in the Hakim Shalom, you're not going to call the Mashiach in any place.
Why not? I called the Rabbanut today. This is just an interesting question. I called them and they said, what's the difference between a Tudat Mahajrin and Muhuderet? If you go for Yerushalayim, they have Mahajrin Hechsherim, they have Muhuderet Hechsherim. So they told me the following. Mahajrin means that they're using Shechita, the meat they're using is only from Rabbanut Yerushalayim. Everything else, all the other products can be all the other badatzes, but the meat is only being Rabbanut Yerushalayim. The Mehuderet means that they'll use Machbud meat, they'll use Badatz meat, they'll use Beit Yosef, but it's not Rabbanut Yerushalayim Shechita. And then the secretary told me an interesting thing, and she says, and for other differences in each and every restaurant, you need to call the Mashgiach, whose number is on the Te'udah in the store. But we don't feel comfortable doing that. Are you questioning me? You know, they tell a joke. For me, it's not a joke because it happened to me. I went into a store once and I said, tell me, do you have a Te'udah? What, are you kidding? The Baba Sali's on the wall. So I said to him, if the Baba Sali was here and you're on the wall, then that's okay. If you're here and he's on the wall, I want to know if you have a Te'udah. The answer was, no, I don't. Okay, so then I moved on, okay? That's really what it, there was used to be a Fleishik restaurant in Yerushalayim. They didn't have a Hechsher, but I knew the guy personally, and I ate there because I knew the guy personally. I knew who he was, right? But you can't do that. We don't know most of the people here.
But if I have a restaurant with a Dutch Hechsher, I can demand. It would make perfect sense to demand to know who the Mashgiach is.
It's not on the Tudat. In my opinion, it's absolutely the consumer's right to know who's doing it. Unless people ask, unless people demand it, it's not going to happen, obviously. There is there's no accountability unless people demand accountability. That's something we have to keep in mind as well. We have 1 minute to go, so I'll take one more question. Go ahead.
Are you aware of the Lakash Slow with King David Lounge in Bangor Airport?
The Kashas of the Bang, there is a Rav of El Al, and he gives the Te'udah for it. And if you read the Te'udah, it says all of the products here are under various Mahajrin Hechsherim. Okay, now that can be, in that means anything, Agudas Yisrael, Bells, Beit Yosef, Machbud, Eidah Haredes, it's everything. It's everything. That's the way, and it's up there on the wall. And it says all the things are all under various Mahajan Hashkochas. Adkan.
So what is that?
It doesn't mean to me, it doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean, and that's why I'm always amazed when I go there. Mele, maybe no Amcha, Mele the Kippot Sugot. But I see frum people just sitting down and picking out. Mikola Balayad. Ma pitom. How do you know what you're doing? You get on the plane in El Al, okay? They give you all kinds of cookies, whatever it is that they give you. Do you know what Hekshir it is that they're giving you? Some of them are Chasam Sofer Petach Tikva. Do you rely on Chasam Sofer Petach Tikva? Me, Chasam Sofer, so why are you eating it? I didn't ask. Why didn't you ask? Why didn't you ask? And by the way, just as we'll finish with this, just people should know, when you travel overseas, you have to realize, if you're not flying an El Al, for example, if you don't order a kosher meal, you will get a treif meal. If you don't order a kosher meal, you will get a treif meal. And I mean 100% treif meal. The meat will be treif. If you don't order kosher, you will get treif. That's the way it works. Because what do you think, what they do with besides selling the nevelis and treifis to the Arabs, what else are they going to do with them? They send them to the airlines who take the, and it's a lot of, I mean, there are thousands and thousands of meals going out every day. So something to pay attention to. If you don't order a kosher meal, you will get a treif meal. Okay, we're going to stop it here. Thank you very much. They started giving on hechsherim.
Sorry.
They started giving on restaurants and hotels.
Okay.
But it said, you know, people don't.
I had
people,
no idea. I thought yeah. They were just information.
No.
Too good to be true.
I
live in Jerusalem, so I'm going to be going.
I'm heading that direction. You want to take you?
No, I like to sleep on the bus. I'll have to talk to you.
No, my son will sit there. You don't have to. You can.